This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. As a result, I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Yes.
I'm so glad to see every one of you here today. This is like a reunion. I feel like I've come home. I don't feel like I wandered far away from home. I just feel like I came home for a reunion. I don't feel like I'm a prodigal son that has came home. I just feel like I'm here visiting. It's a privilege and an honor, and I bring the greetings from the Petersburg Church of Christ, from a group of saints that congregate at 234 North South Street. So if you're ever so inclined, please come and visit with us. And see, we start at 9 o'clock. Worship started at 10. I'm telling you a quick story. Years ago at Jefferson Street, you know, we was big. We was big. We was so big. We had to have two services on Sunday morning. And we just had an 8 o'clock service.
Yeah.
And then we had a 10 o'clock service.
Yeah.
And, you know, that 8 o'clock service, long about on a July 31st kind of day, summertime, you know, everybody, everybody would come at 8 o'clock. So we have a nice full assembly at 8 o'clock. And then at 10 o'clock, you know, time for the 10 o'clock service, the brothers be like, yeah, I've already been here, you know. And it wouldn't be enough people, to have the 10 o'clock service. So we had to cut that out. See, you have a good thing and some people mess it up. But it's a privilege to be here this morning. And this preacher swap, my people told me, they said, don't do that swap no more, don't participate. I said, no, I'm going to keep on participating. They said, we don't want you to go anywhere. I said, well, come with me. No. Turn to your Bibles, if you will, to Matthew chapter 18. We won't hold you long. I got a couple of timepieces in the audience, and I got my clock, but I see you got a clock right there on the wall. And it's a little accurate, so I can put my clock away. Who would turn this on? How often should my brother sin against me when I forgive him? If you're looking for a title for a lesson. Forgiveness is the attitude of the heart, which restores the offender back to the former state and to the affection of the offended one. To forgive means to bury the matter and treat it as though it had not been committed. A kind of delayed judgment which holds the offender on probation is not forgiveness. This is called burying the hatchet with the handle sticking up, so you can grab it in a moment's notice. That's not forgiveness. Fake forgiveness will not work, because Jesus said that forgiveness must come from the heart. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, Jesus says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother of his trespasses. Sometimes you hear people say, I've forgiven, but I've not forgotten, and I'll never forgive. Well, that's not forgiveness either. That's not the way that Jesus forgives. Because when Jesus forgives sin, he remembers it no more. And I'm mighty glad about that. How about you? And I'm glad that this is one of the amen churches, because you know, sometimes people, they just sit there. I'm glad this is a particular story. And Jesus forgives the sin and he remembers it no more. Hebrews 10:17, the Bible says, their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. We cannot truly forgive a person and then constantly remind them of the sin and hold it over their head. Jesus said, we'll forgive a brother if he repents. Luke 17:3, the Bible says, take heed to yourselves. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him.
Amen.
If he does not repent, we must still manifest a kind attitude toward him rather than take vengeance on him. Because Jesus said, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Yes, but see, I'm the kind of guy who, I'm a good Christian, and I try to be a willing worker. And see, I know that God is busy saving people. He's saving people from ladder falls. And he's saving people in airplanes, and he's delivering babies and all that. So I know God is busy. So when it comes to the area of vengeance, I want to help him. See, I want to help him. The scripture says vengeance is mine, but I'm trying to help him. But then, see, that's when I get myself into a whole heap of trouble.
That's right.
Jesus answered the question, how often should we forgive our brother? In Matthew 18:22.
Well,
Jesus said unto him, I do not say up to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times. I don't believe that Jesus was saying, I want you to forgive him 490 times. I think what Jesus was saying was, forgive him unconditionally and as long, many times as you take. If forgiveness should continue indefinitely.
That's right.
Christ emphasizes in a parable that not forgiving on man's part will keep him from heaven. Thus, our scripture text. Matthew 18. Thank you, Charles. I don't know if he's a little Chuck or Charles, for the reading from Matthew 18. But then we're going to pick up verse 23 of Matthew chapter 18. Jesus, in response to the question that Peter had asked, how many times should I forgive my brother? Up to 70 times 7? Jesus said, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and his children and all that he had, and that payment be made. Now, just keep your finger right there. That's an enormous sum of money. 10,000 talents. We'll keep on reading for a moment. Okay, verse 26, the Bible says, the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave his debt. Let me go back for a moment. A denarius, that was one day's wages that a laborer would make. A talent was 6,000 denarii. Okay? So 10,000 talents would be equal to 60 million days of work. 60 million days of work. Now, believe I did. You can check it, but I did my math. I did my math before I came. That would be a total of 274.6 years.
Wow.
Now, you would have to work that long in order to pay the debt that was owed. So that was an enormous sum, right? Yeah. It was, in other words, you can't never pay me.
That's right.
You can never pay me for that debt. Jesus portrayed the man's plot as being hopeless. Because you can never pay that. You can never pay that. Okay? In other words, if you take a million days, okay? All right? A million days, that's 2,738 years. Which, all the numbers, it really doesn't mean that much. The whole bottom line is, it was a debt that couldn't be paid. I started writing the psalm one time. It said, I owed a debt I could not pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. You think that would catch on as a song? Okay, so verse 26 says, the servant therefore fell down, begging him, please, master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion. He released him and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii. Now, we said that a denarii was one day's work, okay? A laborer's work paid for one day, okay? So he owed him 100 days work, okay? And he laid hands on him, took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe.
Well,
now, we talked about this morning in Bible class, we were talking about some of the things we shouldn't be. We shouldn't be talebearers, and we shouldn't be slanderers, and we shouldn't go around telling things that we see. But sometimes, you got to tell some things. You got to tell some things. So when his fellow servants saw the way he did, what he did, my Bible says that in verse 31 says, so when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. And they came and told the master all that had been done. And see, the master, when they came in to tell him, he said, don't tell me nothing. I don't want to hear no gossip. And then one of them said, no, master, I think you want to hear this. So he said, go ahead. So then his master, after he called him, he said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have also had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Remember now, Jesus, in the model prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12, Jesus said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? So you're supposed to do that, right? Okay. Verse 34 says, and his master was angry, and he delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him. So in other words, he gave him a life sentence because he's not going to live for, how many years did I say? He's not going to live for 164,000 years. The point that Jesus was making was forgive unconditionally. Forgive unconditionally. So he says, so my heavenly Father will also do to each of you from his heart, if it from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespass. Christ gives us an example that demands us to forgive. Luke 23 and verse 34. Christ is hanging on the cross. And what did he say? Forgive them. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. I tell the saints that meet at Jefferson Street all the time, I said, if it was for me, you wouldn't have salvation. Because my heart, my carnal mind said, get them. I would have brought down them 10,000 legions of angels and just knocked all of them off. But then you wouldn't have salvation. I'm thankful for the heart that that Jesus had. Amen. Paul taught forgiveness to the church at Colossae when he said in Colossians 3:13, he said, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave, so you also must do. The verse that we call the golden rule requires forgiveness. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Matthew chapter 7 and verse number 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. We want those who sin against us to forgive us. Therefore, we should forgive those who sin against us. The example of the early Christians teaching on forgiveness was Stephen the martyr. Think about Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 and verse 60. Acts 7, verse 59 and 60. The Bible says, and they stoned Stephen. And as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep, or he breathed his last, or he died. Now who among us, being stoned by his aggressors, is going to call out and say, forgive them, for they knew not what to do. You know, this is the account where we see where Jesus stood up. We know Jesus to be seated on the throne.
Yeah.
But Jesus stood up.
Yeah.
But see, I used to think that Jesus stood up and he was getting ready to bring everything to a head. And God said, no, not yet, not yet. But then I heard a minister say, Ray, he said that Jesus stood up and he was saying, yes, Stephen, you go. You're doing this for me. You're doing this for me. I think that's a blessing. That's a blessing. To have the opportunity to suffer for the cause of Christ.
Yeah.
Forgiveness is a big thing. It demands bigness of heart, a bigness that Jesus used. To err is human, but to forgive is divine. Amen.
Yeah.
God and Christ freely forgive because they are big in heart. In Psalms 86 and verse 5, the Bible says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive, and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. In Luke 23:24, as we just read, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do. Forgiveness was not difficult for Joseph because he was a big man. And you know, you're familiar with the story. His brothers, you know, they was jealous of him because the father loved him more. Yeah. Genesis 37, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children,
yeah,
because he was the son of his old age. Much like Jewel, my other children, they're jealous of Jewel because Jewel is the baby. Jewel is the child of my old age. So she got an advantage because she's a girl. And then she's the baby, so we get in the car. I said, where y'all want to eat? And they just go ahead and say, well, Jewel, where you want to go? okay, so he was the son of his old age. Genesis 37, verse 3. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors, or a coat of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him, and they could not speak peacefully unto him. In other words, they couldn't even hold a conversation with him. Joseph come in the room in the morning. Good morning. They wouldn't even speak to him. They took his coat. They threw him into a pit. They took him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. His own brothers. Drop down to Genesis chapter 50. Over to Genesis chapter 50, verse 15 through 21. Genesis 50, 15 through 21. When Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, perhaps Joseph will hate us and may actually repay us all the evil which we did to him. So they sent messages unto Joseph, saying, before your father died, he commanded, saying, thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brother and their sin, for they did evil to you. And please forgive the trespasses of the servants of God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face.
Well,
they said, behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me.
Well,
but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about, as it is this day, to save many people alive. Now, therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them. And listen, the Bible says he spoke kindly to them. Remember, they couldn't even speak peaceably at all to him or about him. And he ended up saving their lives.
Yeah.
What you meant for evil, God meant it for good. Amen? Yeah. Forgiveness is too big for little people. Many times, this is why we have members of the church at odds with each other. They hold grudges and are motivated by malice and ill will.
Well,
they're not big enough Christians to practice forgiveness. Instead of carrying tolerance and forgiveness in their hearts, they carry their feelings on their shoulder and revenge in their hands. Mm. Just as long as people live in the flesh, they're gonna sin.
Did you know that?
Yes. As long as people live, they're going to sin.
That's right.
But just that long, guess what? They're going to need forgiveness.
Man.
Forgiveness demands forbearance. Forgiveness demands forbearance. What is forbearance? Think about the master when he called his accounts to be reckoned with. And a son was owed that was insurmountable. He didn't throw him in prison. He said, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You know, Bank of America might call you because you could be behind. And instead of kicking you out, they enter into a forbearance agreement. Then I can you understand that, right? In other words, that's all right. You just keep on making this payment, and we're going to put that on the end of your loan. Forbearance. Can you understand that? Or whatever. I don't. The two together, forbearance and forgiveness, Paul said in Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. Proverbs 14:19 is the difference between forgiving and sowing discord. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:14, their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble. But they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift on running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. One who sows discord among brethren. Now, I know nobody in here would do that. I know nobody in here would take their personal opinions and try to make them into the rules and laws and try to make it because they said it, my way or the highway. I know nobody in here would do that. What's discord? Keeping up confusion and drama. Not in harmony with what is right. We're always clashing with someone. You know what? See, I don't know. I know not here, but we got some drama kings and some drama queens. But none here, I know that. How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Forgiveness is an attitude of the heart, which restores the offender back to the former state and to the affections of the offended one. To forgive means to bury the matter and treat it as though it had not been committed. Amen. It's a kind of delayed judgment who holds the offender on probation is not forgiveness. Don't bury the hatchet with the handle sticking up, ready for the quick draw. Mm-hmm. Fake or sham forgiveness will not work because Jesus said that it must come from the heart. Jesus said, so likewise, my heavenly Father will all do to you also, if you from your heart do not forgive everyone of his brother's trespasses. Don't you be the one that says, I forgive you, but I've not forgotten and I'll never forgive you.
Well,
but this is not the way that Jesus forgives. When Jesus forgives sin, he remembers it no more. You know what? Some people still hold in their heart. Some things that happened in the church 50 years ago, we can't let go and let God. You know what? We got to move on. I forgive you and I love you. That's where we got to be. We got to forgive and move on. You should be glad about it. Be glad about it that when God forgives our sin, he remembers it no more. Are you glad about it? We cannot truly forgive a person then constantly remind them of the sin and hold it over their head. Jesus said we are to forgive a brother if he repents. If he does not repent, we must still, if they don't repent, we must still manifest a kind attitude toward them.
Amen.
Rather than take vengeance on them. Because Jesus said, vengeance is mine. Jesus answered the question, how often shall we forgive our brother? He said it in Matthew 18:22. I do not say unto you up to seven times, but up to 70 times. And what Jesus said, I'm not putting a number on it. I'm telling you, forgive unconditionally from your heart. Jesus said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why not put first things first? Why not keep the main thing, and be added to the kingdom of God? How do you do that? How do you go about doing that? My Bible tells us in chapter 11, verse 6, you need to hear the word. But without faith, it is possible to please God. But he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You should believe in Christ, John chapter 8 and verse 24. You should repent of your past sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. You should confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Romans 10:9-10. And then in Galatians 3:27, Mark 16:16, be baptized into Christ, not baptized into the church. I was studying with one of our frequent visitors. I said, well, what did you believe at the time you got baptized? I said, did you get baptized into Christ, or did you get baptized into the church? And she said, well, that been so long ago, I don't remember. And I said, well, that's good. That gave us a good foundation to start. Because if you don't remember, you surely don't know. You know, I said, I want you to be in something that you know, something that you know is right. If you obey the gospel, you should ask yourself this question. Are you putting first things first? Are you keeping the main thing the main thing? Do you have a forgiving heart? Have you left your first love? If so, you need to repent. God is still sitting high, looking low. He knows you. He cares about you. He knows every detail of your life. You don't want your lampstand to be removed. You don't want your name to be removed from the Lamb's Book of Life.
Well,
if you're here this morning and you feel yourself subject to the Savior's invitation, why not make it known as we sing the hymn of encouragement?